Welcome back. Welcome back. It's midday with Marcus Maben. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. It's a beautiful Monday. It's almost like a Monday. We're expecting a bit of a Native American summer, if you will. It is so, so beautiful, people, that I can't close my windows at night. I can't wait to open my door in the morning. I can't wait to get in my car and get to the 93.9 studios. And on a Monday morning, you know what else I got for you? That's right. That's right, people. We want Steve. We got Steve. Steve Rummage in the building. Brian Hall in the booth. Steve, what's going on?
What a weekend. I mean, what a weekend from beginning to end. There's so much. There's not been many shows that I feel like you have so much to cover. And this is one of those, you know how everybody jokes around, you say, man, I wish you had extra time. And we appreciate when y'all write us and say, and we see those on a daily basis where it's like, hey, y'all need more time.
When you suggest extra time, we screenshot it. We save it, then we pass it along to management, and we say, see, this is what you need to be doing because this is what the people want, and this is what you should deliver.
So thank you for that, but this is one of those days where that is the case, and we're going to touch everything from the Louisville football game. I told you on a few things. We're going to talk, of course, just everything that went on. I got a new favorite NBA team. I want to get to that, and then we're going to talk, and we're going to get serious. And I think this is going to be an odd place to be in for me today because I think we're going to disagree. So we're going to be so far apart on an issue in the NFL, me and you today. And we love, me and Marcus love each other. Let's be clear.
Okay, go ahead and get serious. I mean, but that's what people are waiting on.
No, I know. And me and Marcus are friends. But we do stand on different sides of this issue 100%. And as far as, just knees being down and different stuff. And I'll just go ahead and go there right now. Marcus, without a shadow of a doubt, the refs got that call 100% right.
Oh,
Detroit lost
God,
the game.
Oh,
the kid was down.
Oh, my
the runoff
God,
was
Steve.
Correct. Quit crying about it. Take your loss and go home.
What,
I'm sorry.
What other?
I don't know what else to tell you.
What other conversation about knees down did you think we were talking about, people?
Come on, man. This man's been crying for 24 hours about a bat. It was the right call.
There is no possible way that you, when you fall to the ground, you don't get the 6 inches between the time your knee hits and the time your upper torso hits. The ball is crossing the plane, the tip. And he was not touched. He was not touched before he gained possession of the ball. The Detroit Lions have gotten hosed. It was my baby's first start in the NFL. And you hosed them out of beating the
Lions' first loss.
You took Jalen Reeves-Maben's moment to beat the Super Bowl participant Atlanta Falcons. The most high-powered offense in the country was locked down by the Detroit Lions, held to 26 points, I think. And you stole 3 interceptions on defense. Defensive touchdown, and you stole a victory from the Detroit Lions.
No, Detroit lost. Detroit did something that we've seen other people do this week. I'm going to hold off on it. And snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. And
that doesn't happen too often.
That's what Detroit did. So must be a cat thing. Lions.
Just keeping it there.
Look, let's have a good time today. No, in all seriousness, I realized that I'm too emotionally invested in your son now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, me and my son were taking in that game together and we're absolutely too much invested. But he's out there looking good, man.
He's out there.
He's got to make the plays.
He's got to make the plays.
But he's there.
He knows he has to make the plays.
Yeah, but he looks good.
Steve, let's you know what? Let's not even clown around about this. Let's just jump right into the emotional investment that is the NFL, right? Because a conversation comes up. I have gotten this inbox and this message more than anything this morning. Marcus, what are you gonna? How do you feel about the NFL? What are you gonna say about them taking knees? What are you gonna say about them protesting? What you know, things like that. People, we have done this together. And I'm feeling comfortable saying, you as a listenership, you as a fan base, from the time I've joined ESPN Louisville and 93.9, we've done this together. We sent my boy away to school to Tennessee together, hoping he'd get in against anybody that could play. Like, we've done this together.
Yeah.
You know, you how's he doing? Is his grades okay? Just everything. We've all done this together. Oh, good job on the radio, Marcus. How are you going to talk about him? And are you going to cheer for Louisville when Tennessee plays Louisville? We've been through this whole experience together. It has been my honor and my emphasis to make you a part of my life so you could live this experience vicariously through me. Now we reach a point where the road gets rocky. Now we reach a point where we may have disagreement in a political belief, but we've lived it together. I was just telling Perrin Johnson, who was obviously, you know, asked on how he feels about the, you know, these conversations. And I told him, just like I'll tell Steven, just like I'll tell anybody, for this conversation right here, I have the ultimate cheat code. The ultimate cheat code, and it's almost like being able to tote the line without offending anybody, right? But it to me, if you've enjoyed this ride together with me, if you've lived this experience with me, you would feel the exact same way I feel. Now, NFL taking a knee protest. I have to have the conversation. Steve, we're going to treat this like he's your adopted son, because you're going to be mooching off him just like I am.
Well,
right?
Well, because right now, no, in all seriousness, though, let's say this, because right now, and I know what you're about to get into, the things he does at this moment, we're connected. We're connected in business. And yes. I mean, friendship, but I mean, I'm more just talking the business side of it.
Right.
So, in a way, I am directly affected
right.
by and, something that maybe he does that would affect you, that would affect me.
People, I have to have a conversation with Jalen Reeves-Maybin about kneeling tomorrow. I have to deal with his anxiety about, and he only calls me for the important stuff. Night before, we have to have the conversation. I have to be able to tell him, I cannot, Jalen, give you a suggestion. I cannot give you advice. This is something you have to do 100% on your own. I will support whatever decision you make. You will take rewards from what you do. You will take consequences from what you do. Either way, I will support you, but you will live the experience 100% on your own. I have the conversation with his mother. What do you think he's going to do? What do you think he should do? What's going on? Say, LaDon, he would not let a teammate kneel by himself, right? LaDon, he is not in a position financially to buck the system, right? As a parent, as an older, mature parent, I can say, hey, you know, you can do more with money, you know what I'm saying, and affect change. You know, a different way. That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, if you leave a teammate kneeling down on that field and you don't join him, and I'm talking about the teammates who really believe in the cause of the protest, right? Because we always have the binary conversation. Is it American flag or is it, you know, institutional racism or blue, whatever you're kneeling from? If he lets a teammate kneel, and he doesn't do it, it might affect his psyche for the rest of his life on this planet. I cannot believe I let my teammate, my friend kneel, and I didn't join him and I didn't support him. These are the things he's going through. My father, war pilot, veteran, right? Every member of the Maben male family has participated in the military and in these wars. Back to the Civil War, right? This kid, American dream. Sports, college, 3-year graduation, degrees, not so much as a traffic ticket on his resume. Everything you want in your purest red-blooded American. If he can't kneel without being misinterpreted, then nobody can. If I can't support that kid kneeling, then nobody gets support from me. You get the point? And we've all lived this together. So when I say I have a cheat code, people, of the experience, you've lived it with me. You know you have to support a young man who feels strongly about anything if he's done everything right from the day he was born almost. So in my opinion or my position, if you believe the cause is righteous, you kneel. If you're kneeling to buck the system or disrespect the flag, then you stand up and you take and you get your money and you play by the you play by the rules, right? That's exactly. And I can feel either way about it. I can feel supportive of military and hey man, you stand up. You know you're a part of the program. You're part of the system. You have benefited greatly from the system. I can be comfortable with that. And I can be comfortable with a guy who says, you know, there's things about the system I like to change. I like to affect change. I like to improve things for people. I can 100% support that. And I don't have to worry about being judged. My worry is, can he deal with being judged? That's the only way. So, Steve, we're directly affected, and we don't have to generally dive off one end either way or the other.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. Because I think everybody has, obviously, I'm not going to do the same old speech everybody does. Everybody right. has a right to do their own
right.
thing.
We know this. And call in the show. Right. If your opinion has changed from the beginning of this whole thing, call into the show. Because there's people, you stood on one side from day one, you stand on the other side from day one.
Right.
That's not the conversation we need to have.
No, because, I mean, I can do the typical, just everybody has a right to do what they do. Me personally, I wouldn't kneel.
Right.
That's me personally. I feel like if I have a beef with the president or something, that's me.
Yeah, you do it another way.
Whatever.
Right.
You know, so that's fine with me, but I can respect anybody that takes a stand for something. And as far as in this situation, if that was the case and that's what the entire NFL felt like they needed to do for the most part,
right.
just like I'm gonna get it in there. Like I feel like when I do this, that I'm the guy that when you're having the race conversation,
right?
And it's like, okay, we just brought up 15 things against one race. Now I need to come back and go, yep. But now,
right.
Hey, I will say right. that this other guy did this, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
Right.
Just like I can respect Alejandro Villanueva
yep.
for walking out of the Steelers locker room in the tunnel,
right?
Not making a show, not making a spectacle.
Right.
He could have walked out and stood dang near at the 50-yard line
right.
and made a show out of
right,
that.
Right, right.
I can respect that too. Hey, you fought in the war. Look, you don't feel that's right. That's your business.
Yeah,
you know?
No. And again, for the people that I am supposed, like I am expected to go to bat for, you know, the not in an extreme way, but I dare you. Like if Jalen had decided not to take a knee, right? I dare you to look at your child and see how much blood, bone break, and sweat and tears they've committed their life to becoming an NFL football player, and he gets his first start, and you want him to jeopardize anything? Anything? Like if he had decided to stand up on top of the bench, I would. You know what? You know what my reaction would have been? My baby.
Yeah, right.
Right? Because like right. I said, for what he's given up, and again, to him, he has his purpose, but again, what he's given up to be a professional athlete, for him to even, because, yeah. I mean, let's face it, you're going to lose fans. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you support. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to sleep at night. And he's a rookie, so, I mean, let's face it, he got some money. He got paid a little bit.
I mean, he's
bit.
Doing okay.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
But you know, long term, like I said, it could cost you a lot of money. So again, don't you got to pardon me if I don't jump off a deep end one way or the other. Like I said, I believe in the cause. I believe in, you know, I believe in support, and I've seen it from both ends.
Yeah, but and one thing I will say, and this is something I think we've done really well on this show, and this is by no means, the way I'm going to say it is we do say
do it,
things
Steve.
That are underlined shots. We do that. Look, we can be petty. That's fine. But this isn't one of them. There's no underlying in any right, other right. station, any other show, any other anything with what I'm about to say. The one thing I do love, though, that the attitude we've taken with this show is, like you said, we don't feel towards any race, affiliation, anything else, when we get on these two mics,
right.
that we're expected to take up for anybody. That's our sponsorship. If that means we're going to cut a sponsor, me and you, I know I can speak for you in this, and we don't have a sponsor that does that to us, but we will cut a sponsor before we will be expected to. I go back and talk to some white friends that sometimes go, you're getting a little bit into that, aren't you? You know, and you go back
right.
and talk to some black friends
right.
that, look, let's be honest. Let's
right.
be honest. Not everybody was receptive to you bringing me on this show. I mean, and not everybody I know was receptive to me.
Hanging out with that Marcus guy too much.
And some of the opinions that I have that don't totally support my, you know, all white friends. Like, and I got a lot of opinions to do.
Right.
But the one thing we'll never do, and this is
good
why
point.
I give kudos to those guys that did kneel and the ones that didn't, is you come out and said, those guys said, the dude that stood in the tunnel
right.
and Jalen Reese-Maven, who took a knee, said, I'm not expected to do anything.
Right.
I'm going to do what I believe. And
right.
I'm going to say what I believe, and I can give props to that, no matter what.
Period. Point.
Yeah.
Point blank. Period. I'm glad we got to do this.
That was good.
And people, 8150-939 is number. 3831-939 is the text line. I'm glad we got to enjoy that healthy conversation.
I feel like I need to. I mean, I don't need to Jerry Maguire right now or anything. I mean, look, we all know I love everybody.
Damon, thanks for calling 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, Maven. What's up, Steve? What's going on with you?
What's going on, man?
Good day to be a card.
It is.
But I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you, Maven. His knee was down. I'm sorry. Because I'm sorry.
Down.
If his knee was not down,
yeah.
then my Burrow's foot was not out of bounds.
Oh,
that first touchdown
my
went overtime. So,
goodness.
Yeah.
And trust me, I watched the play, too, and was like, yeah, the knee was down before the ball crossed the plane, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Maven.
Oh,
sorry.
My goodness.
I'm just so sorry, because I love stats, and that was terrible. I'm sorry.
Damon,
his arm did not stick out far enough for the touchdown. I'm sorry.
What, Damon, I appreciate the call. What's my receiver's name? I should have asked Damon. What was the receiver's name in Detroit? Like, I can't be. Out of Notre Dame.
On the play?
Yes.
Golden Tate.
Golden yeah. Tate. Golden freaking Tate. And but okay, Steve, let's just do this. People, I don't want to cost my boy no money. I don't want to cost him any money. Let me relax. But Steve, at what point do you want to make national news?
I mean, whenever you want. I mean, I'm totally ready.
At what point, Brian Hall, are you ready for this show to go national? People,
tomorrow.
Not today. People,
tomorrow.
This is the fear. We've enjoyed my ascent to the top. Our ascent to the top of the radio world, right? I mean, we're dominating, and we're nothing but great things ahead. What has been my biggest fear? My biggest fear is to mess up that young fella's reputation by something I'ma say on the air, people. And I'ma let you know a thought that I had, but that I did kind of say, but didn't want to say.
Okay. Not say it. Father of Jalen, let me preface this.
Oh my God.
Father,
go make the news,
of linebacker Jalen Reeves-Maben for the Detroit Lions. Says
publicly critical
yes.
of Matthew Stafford
yes.
and the Detroit Lions offense.
Say it.
Because his baby feels like they held Atlanta to 26 points. You have four plays in the red zone for the win. We got to get the touchdown, fellas.
Yeah.
Steve, now that's going to get blown up.
That was tough. I mean, yeah. off Detroit Lions offense.
People, I have a radio show.
Jalen Reeves-Maybin's carrying the team.
I can't credit you. Right.
Offense can't keep up the slack. That's 100%.
Let's write these articles and let's just get them in total trouble.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we can do. We hold that. That's why, look.
Let's just add hypothetically.
Let me talk to Jalen for a second. Like, Jalen, look, we hold a little power in your life. So, like, we can ruin this. We can take this thing down.
We're going to call a family meeting and say, am I supposed to speak freely?
And everybody's going to be around the family table and they're going, I'm going to be getting those looks.
Steve.
Anybody know why he's here?
Yeah. Steve said, listen, I'm as much of a part of
it. I mean, what do you want me to say? I mean, I talk in the same microphone your dad does, so like, let's just do it.
And we do possess the power to propel his success.
Yes.
His knee wasn't down. He didn't get touched.
They
that
lost, Marcus. Get over it. They lost.
Golly.
They lost. The Falcons are undefeated, and they lost.
Ooh.
It would be the Lions. The Lions and the Chiefs would be the only two undefeated teams in the NFL today. Think about that. That's like Duke and Wake Forest. They're the only two undefeated, they're not the only two, but they're 4-0. Like, who would have thought that?
I mean, golly, first loss this weekend. I would have thought you were talking about UK. Where did that come from? Where did that come from, Steve? When you get angry, UK lost.
I just can't. Oh, my God.
I can't believe y'all thought y'all was going to win.
I can't.
Did y'all think y'all was going to win?
I know. I'm sorry. I can't wait to hear. Butch, if you're out there, call in. Please at some point today, call in.
UK Vince, Butch, come take it.
Oh, that's funny.
Come take your
Let's
medicine.
Let's have a good time with that.
UK fans, come on.
Yeah.
UK fans, get online. Get on my Facebook Live.
We will have a little bit of fun.
Get on Twitter. Come on. Come on home.
But you know, with all that said, I told you.
Oh, no. Oh, no, people. Listen, this is how well I know Steve. Steve says, with all that being said, I told you. We're going to give Steve a chance to spike the proverbial football on anything he told us about. I don't see. We had this one coming, Steve. Get ready. Butch, good Monday morning. How are you today?
Butch.
Good morning, Marcus. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, Butch.
How's it going?
Oh, I got it. I'm good, man. You know what, Marcus? Let me just say this.
Oh, that tone. I don't like it already.
Let me just say this. Congratulations to Florida for having 10 or 20 people suspended.
But I'm
going to say this. You know, it's not even about football anymore with this matchup, man. It's like, what's that Murphy's Law? What can go wrong will go wrong.
Just keep talking. You can talk all day.
I've been critical of the coaching staff, and I don't care. Making a bowl is nothing.
Seven wins
a season is horrible.
Guard and receiver.
Nobody on that sideline saw them. The 10 men on the field.
And then held. They got Phil Garrett and held.
But here's what got me, though, because this reminded me of all the fourth quarter debacles out of these four matchups that they've blown. That they've moved the ball and got a holding penalty when they were in field goal range, and it moved them back to first and 20.
Oh, my God. And they got back in field goal range and missed the kick.
He wasn't. That's 54 was career long. It was 57. It was straightened up. It was just short.
It was online. It was on. They almost won. It was online.
I almost had a heart attack, y'all. A real one. I was hyperventilating. God.
Me too.
I quit watching it. My aunt was texting me play by play, and I was like, I don't even want to hear from you. Tennessee.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
It was. It was
as
bad.
It goes. Butch, as it goes.
But yeah. I listen. I
Such
appreciate
is
the
life, Butch. Such is life, my friend. Woo,
Steve.
I enjoyed that.
No, that.
I waited all weekend.
You're enjoying that too much.
I did.
You're enjoying.
I mean,
way
you
too
couldn't
much.
Draw up or like the only thing I could draw up worse than that is is letting Luke May hit a buzzer beater in the elite. I love it. Oh my God!
Did you
thank y'all.
Did you
I needed to end that. That was the way I needed to end my Saturday.
Too. Butch, that was very adult.
That was very manly of Butch to call in. And I don't even know what all he said, but it was.
You didn't hear a word said, did you?
I did.
How? Okay.
Oh.
I see.
Let's get it all out before we get into Louisville football, because once we get diving into that, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm terrified, I'm everything with
people,
that.
I mean, what do you want me to do with the UK thing? Like I said, like I came in here with the jokes. I came in here with the giddiness, right? And it was just like, Louisville fans needed that. Louisville fans were not happy towards the end of the evening, right?
No, there was a little bit of nerves, and then Kentucky was going to win, and they're going to go 6-0, and y'all play crap teams for the first six games, so it's kind of like,
Kentucky went all Kentucky.
And then Kentucky was just like, they just reached into the jaws of victory. It was like, give me the defeat.
Jaws?
Yeah.
Jaws?
Yeah.
They,
and Florida sucks. Can we say that? Florida sucks.
That was the worst Florida team I've ever seen in the history of all universities out of Florida. And when you say reach, snatched it out of the jaws of defeat, no, Steve. They stuck their hand inside the jaws.
Oh, my.
Down the esophagus.
Yeah.
Past the stomach.
Yeah.
Into the large intestine.
Got it.
Down to the small intestine.
Yeah, so you ain't going nowhere.
to the whatever is past the small intestine.
I have no idea.
The colon and proceeded to rip.
Yes.
The victory all the way reversing all the way out the human digestive system.
Totally. And just snagged it.
And just held it up in the air.
Give me that loss. Just
give me that win.
I did.
Take that loss.
I know. I enjoyed it. I really did. I really enjoyed that.
That was brutal.
After a week of hearing my in-laws talk about they're going to go 6-0, probably going to win four of their last six.
Oh.
So that include beating us.
Oh, they were talking.
Yeah, you know, they were going to, and if they can get Georgia at Georgia, they're going to be in the SEC championship game.
Oh, they were talking.
Timeout. You were down to EKU and SMU.
Now EKU.
Or not SMU.
Now
USMU.
EKU thinks they got a shot.
Yeah.
Who we got on? We're going to want.
I'm sorry.
Cool guy, Don.
Let's move on from that.
Thanks for joining me on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Yep. Hello.
That's who we got on now?
It's Big Mike.
Big Mike. What's going on?
Not much, fellas. What's going on, Ron? What's going on, Marcus?
What's up, man?
Hey, so first of all, Rum, you mind if I call you Rum?
No,
I mean, it's pretty cool,
absolutely not. That's what they call me in high school, so that works.
All right, yeah. Okay. So first of all, I want to wish Kentucky a happy 31st.
Absolutely. Congratulations, and, guys.
And I wanted to talk about Lamar a little bit.
Yeah.
Watching him in the last few games, I get the vibe that, I don't want to say selfish, I feel like it's selfish because a lot of times when he was running the ball, he was putting his body in danger. I don't know if he was just determined to try to run somebody over or he wasn't getting down. And I feel like that's selfish because if he gets hurt, then it's going to put us in a compromised situation. So I want to get you guys' opinion about that first. And then one more point I want to make is how about Puma Pass, man? I thought he looked really, really good, man. I don't know if it's just his stature, but when he dropped back to pass, man, it seems like his IQ may be a little more advanced than Lamar's. I mean, I feel like he had, like, kind of command over that offense, and I think we got a bright future with that kid, man. And I'll sit back and I'll listen to you guys.
Listen, Mike, I appreciate the call. Now what's going to happen here? Hold on. Who we got on one? Nobody.
That was Big Mike. You just didn't hang up on him.
Okay, well, we had Don on too, but it doesn't
matter. He hung up. We heard it.
No, that's fine. So what's going to happen right now, people? You just heard Mike's call. Mike's call is going to catapult me into the angriest human being that you've ever seen come through this air in this radio in this studio. Steve, I think we should take a quick commercial break.
Yeah, let's do that before we dive into
people. This next segment is what we're going to make our commercials out of. All our advertisements coming up are going to be made in this next segment. Steve and I are going to physically fight. So get ready to join us on Facebook Live. I think we're going to go dedicated camera and everything, like the works. This next segment, pandemonium, will ensue. Midday with Marcus Maben. Quick commercial break. 8150, 93.9 is the number on 93.9 DeVille.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. We're rolling along on a beautiful Monday morning. I have to remind you, this show is also brought to you by Derwin Webb of the Web Firm, 812-941-8886, or his Louisville office, 502-265-6167. Little extra shout out, Oxmoor Toyota Enterprise, Jill Blessinger, and the DFHcompany.com. Let me get to these phone lines.
Billy Carl,
thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
What's up, man? What's up, Dorman? I got 2 points. Now, you know, Marcus, we don't agree too often. But you said it last week, and I piggybacked on it, and Rummage disagreed. You didn't want the backup to get in there and get no shine because it creates a quarterback controversy. Now you got callers calling in talking about he has more command of offense. The Heisman Trophy winner does not need that type of pressure. So if he has a bad game now, like a bad two quarters, now you got them fans going to be thinking, oh, the back, he looked pretty good. So you was right on that. I don't know why Rummage didn't see it. But the second thing is, man, y'all kind of hard on Kentucky, man. That D lineman was crying when he got that offensive penalty, man. And I ain't never seen a team the loss. And it looked like they just Florida took the life out of their body. I ain't never seen that bad. The demeanor of that Kentucky team looked bad. But me and you, Marcus, we agree on that one thing. So, Rummage, you need to get on board. I'll holler at y'all.
Appreciate the call. Steve, I went on an eloquent rant last week. You vehemently disagreed.
Yes,
people,
and still do.
We are at a point. I didn't agree with the pressure part of Philly Call's call, but we are at a point that I guess this is coming. We knew this was coming. I didn't want to see it. I was going, okay, let's just jump straight into it. Lamar Jackson was going to get criticized the moment Juwan Pass came into a football game. The backup quarterback is always the most popular guy on the field. I told you it wasn't because I didn't want to see Puma Pass. I've seen it tear across a fan base. We haven't even talked about the actual game and what we saw. Steve, I haven't even got a chance to just destroy what I thought was the game on Saturday. People, let me tell you this, and we're on Facebook Live. Steve finally has his dedicated camera. He looks like he's enjoying that.
Still a little smaller, but
don't get me started.
I know.
People, I have never seen Steve, and on the introduction, we both just shaking our head in supreme disappointment. Steve, thank goodness we are not allowed to actually carry cameras around with us and microphones with us. People, I saw Steve after I stopped for breakfast at the media suite.
Yeah.
They had a great veggie lasagna, by the way.
Yeah, I didn't eat that, but I did. The loaded scrambled eggs were really good.
So I got to the game. I had a little veggie lasagna. I pulled up to watch the game, and I immediately started. I was so disappointed. I was disappointed in the 4th-and-1. I was disappointed in the missed pass. I was just disappointed in every aspect of the game in the beginning. And when I saw Steve, Steve looked like he felt the same way.
Right.
But we always do that, Steve.
I mean, we was 5 minutes into the game. And I was already like, I mean, when I'm in game, you can't hold me accountable for the things I do and say
in
game.
In criminal investigations, what do you always call it? Crime of passion?
That's why we try not to watch the games too publicly.
Again, my conversation during a game could be easily thrown out or dismissed in court or explained away by Durham Webb at a Webb firm as a crime of passion. I want to cut Lamar Jackson in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
No. Not bench him. Take his scholarship. Des Fitzpatrick, I love you. I will cut you in a heartbeat.
A heartbeat.
If you drop that pass again, and especially if it gets intercepted, I will literally take your scholarship and I will ban your number from ever being worn again. I mean, I might calm down a little later on, but that's how I feel in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Petrino, I will tell the world that you're available for contract negotiations and buyouts on a bad play call. Robbie Bell, if you don't block the entire defensive line on a 4th-and-1 and somebody gets stopped, you're done. If you're done, and anybody with children named Bell who get recruited in the future are done.
Yeah.
That's the emotional level. Steve, at what point did you get off your emotional high horse and come back to reality?
By the end of the game.
Same question to the fan base, too. 8150, 93.9 is the number, 93.9 is the station. We can keep it macro. What did you feel about the game performance? Let's just talk about your general feelings leaving the game. Were you disappointed? Were you happy? Were you pleased? Like, what was your opinion about the game in general?
It was, I think.
Outside of Squirrel.
Yeah, obviously. That was funny. I felt good with the score, obviously.
The final score.
The final score, I think there was something there. There wasn't a tightness there. I don't know. There was something a little more where you said.
Tightness as far as execution.
Execution-wise, there were still 4 turnovers. You did have the 4th-and-1 you didn't get.
Why? Wait. Why are you going, like that's not a big deal? Bobby Petrino said it in his press conference. 4 turnovers?
Yeah,
four turnovers against Kent State. Why aren't you killing them today, Steve?
3 of them were from Lamar.
Why aren't you killing them? Why haven't you benched them? At what point do you just say, "Oh, we'll clean that up"?
No, that's the scary thing. I think you say we're 4 games in. You start
a
to go
quarter of a season.
The question starts to become: are they
actually a
clean
third?
It?
Not yeah, even a quarter. Third.
Yeah, you say, are you going to clean this up?
Because are you now, capable of cleaning
yeah,
it up?
Yeah, right. Because now, what disappointed me the most, honestly, was okay. Lamar threw the one pick, went through Fitzpatrick's hands. You had the fumble.
What was your biggest disappointment? Yeah, that's a good point.
The biggest disappointment for me was the 4th-and-1 that they got stuffed. That was the biggest disappointment for me because I said, and when they went down to the goal line on the first drive, by the way, let me say this. While we're getting all the negative stuff out of the way, Jordan Davis, you got to score on that first play, man. Like, come on, big man. You got to get in the end zone.
Why are you laughing about that, Steve?
I'm sorry.
Listen.
You got to score, man.
No, like, tight end with a 10-yard head start at the 50 can get caught if you're a top 20 team. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Now, I don't care about if you're – unless you're just a blocking tight end, a tackle-eligible tight end that you're in for the power, you know, power scheme, no tight end on a top 20 team can get caught with a 10-yard head start with a pass play that wide open.
Now,
it just can't happen.
Now, on the flip side of that, let me say this
quick. Don't flip side it.
Louisville had over 500 – total yards of offense and only ran 56 plays.
Stats schmats.
That's 9.5 yards. 9.5 yards a play.
That's an impressive stat, Steve.
I don't care who you're playing.
That's an impressive stat, Steve. You saw Jordan Davis get hawked down with a 12-yard head start. Of course, I'm getting bigger with the numbers. With a 15-yard head start, Steve, he could not score on the opening play. How many times are we going to say that touchdown would have changed the game?
Well, yeah, I mean.
That would have changed the way you roll them out. He scores that touchdown. You put Kent State so far in the fear zone that you run up the score. Now you got Puma Pass playing a whole half of football.
Yes, no, you do. But two more quick things, then we'll go to the phone lines. Another positive, I thought
we were in a negative zone right now.
Well, we were, but I mean, I'm out. But I'm going to go back in. I'm going to go back in. I thought Malik Williams looked good. I thought the run game good. I've been telling you all along, Colin Wilson's a problem. I'm starting to find that out. But now let me get to what
I
think.
Is he not in shape?
I don't know. Because some kids vomit and and it's not just because they're tired.
People, he vomited on his third play of the game.
But let me say this.
That was funny.
The biggest worry for me, and I defended this the first two games on this show, like it's going out of style, and
right.
You called in and you talked crap to me as the caller about this, and now I have to eat a little crow. The middle of the field on that defense is wide open anytime anybody wants it. We seen it against Clemson.
The draw or the run?
The run, the pass, whatever you want, but it feels like that schematically that field is wide open in the middle, and when you go against an NC State in a couple weeks with a kid like Samuel, that scares me to death. And I'm starting to get a little more on the train of where I'm going, it's not the playmakers. It's not Jair Alexander if it's
right.
The middle of the field.
Right.
So maybe there's a systemic problem there. I don't know. But that is starting to worry me a touch.
There it. Let me go to this phone.
Yeah, I mean, you can go
absolutely
on it.
Absolutely crazy. Lawrence, thanks for joining me on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Man, Steve, now I got to rewatch that game to see what you're talking about in the middle of the field. I got to say this. I've been watching Louisville football since 91.
Yep.
I have never seen a running back who can move like that. Colin Wilson is going to be a big problem next couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, the last running back I ever seen a move like that was Reggie Bush. And when Colin Wilson gets in shape,
Michael,
he's gonna be.
No, I think he's going Reggie, full out Reggie. No,
he's like kind of guy who can carry an offense on his back.
No, Lawrence, I agree.
Lawrence,
man.
I appreciate the call.
I
he didn't mean Reggie.
No,
Bush,
he did.
Steve.
No, he meant Reggie.
He did not
no,
mean Reggie.
No, he said
Bush,
what
Steve.
He meant, and he said Reggie Bush.
He meant Michael Bush.
No, he meant Reggie Bush.
Brian.
He meant Reggie.
Did he mean Michael
he
Bush
said,
or Reggie Bush?
I think he meant Reggie.
I think he meant Reggie Bush.
Stop it.
I'm not, listen, Colin Wilson.
I'm not going to be working with you guys.
I think he meant Reggie.
If y'all going to keep doing this, we all going to have to just go our separate ways. I've been telling you. We're going to have to turn into Belle Biv DeVoe and Ralph Tresvant. Do y'all have any idea who I'm talking
about? Not one bit.
Oh, no.
Not one bit.
See, people. On Facebook Live, on 93.9 listeners, when we break up, I want you to go back to September 25th. Happy birthday, Jasmine. September 25th, where Steve Rummage did not know what I meant when I said, we're going to go like Belle Biv DeVoe and Ralph Tresvant. And do you know who Bobby Brown is?
Yes. And wasn't he with Whitney Houston? Is that no? Are you shaking your head no?
I hate both of you.
Are you shaking your head no?
I literally...
He was. Bobby Brown was with Whitney Houston, right?
I literally hate both of you who I work with on a daily basis.
Seriously,
ask who's the him. Next caller? Big Mike, thanks for joining us on 93.9, my man. What's on your mind?
Hey, Marcus. Hey, Rome. I just had to call back.
Yep.
Just I'm going to make a comment. I had to clarify what I said at first. What I was saying is necessarily a knock on Lamar. The only knock I do have on Lamar is... I felt like he was, you know, Seth wasn't getting down, was trying to run people over, and I'm scared that he'll get hurt. But as far as Puma, I'm looking to our future. By no means do I feel like he should come in over Lamar at any point. I just feel like in the future he has, you know, great command and offense, and he's going to be a problem. And then one comment I want to make about Colin Wilson, I think is his name.
Yeah.
He's so, when he hits that hole, it's like that's how you need a running back to be.
not timid going to the line or anticipating contact. He literally hits the hole like going 100, it seems like. That's what we need on that read option. And now, this may be a problem here. I mean, I love Williams. You know, he's a great physical, quick back. But they got to split reps at this point. You know, we gotta ride the hot horse.
Right.
And I feel like he may have an opportunity to get the start. And that's what I want. You guys take care.
No, Mike, I appreciate it. Don't back down. Don't back down off your Lamar criticism. He looks good on some. He looks bad on others. It's okay to say he's playing inconsistent, and for you to be a championship team like the Louisville expectations, like I'm sure Coach Petrino expectations are, he can't miss the wide open hits. And Mike, you're 100% right. He's taking unnecessary hits. When you say, think about this, Steve. You identified it as I did in the game. We talked about the most disappointing moment of the entire of the game. And yours was a 4th-and-1. You know what my most disappointing moment was, people, out of that game? And those who watch the game play-by-play will know exactly what I'm talking about. Did you see the play that Lamar Jackson kind of stepped up, you know, got out the pocket, was scrambling to the far sideline? He was scrambling to the left, which means, you know, he was scrambling to the left. He ran all the way towards the sideline, right? And instead of throwing the ball out of bounds upfield, he took a hard hit and lost yards on that play. Do you know the play I'm talking about, Steve?
Absolutely.
When he looked downfield, and you and I both looked at each other and said, if you haven't figured out by now that you have to throw that ball down the field, once you get out of the pocket, the hard part's over with. You throw the ball, you don't lose downs. And he took a hard hit on the sideline. If you haven't learned that play, then I am getting very worried about your development.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm Bobby Petrino, I'm almost to the point where I know you're a Heisman Trophy. You can't go back out there the next play if you don't know that by now.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be some kind of discipline towards, yes, you're a Heisman Trophy winner too. Like, we have to do something to let you know, that can't happen. You cannot go on my field if you can roll out and have that much time to look downfield. And you weren't even under pressure when you got out of the pocket. That's just that's the play that Puma pass, you start saying, well, the IQ thing comes in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The heady sit in the pocket, make the system work. That's what happens. Where a throw out of bounds, a throwaway, is considered a good play. So when Lamar Jackson starts getting this criticism about how he cannot be a pocket passer, he cannot play in the NFL, that's the play they're going to point to, and that's the play that I'm so disappointed to have to bring up after all these years, but that's the play that proves everybody who doesn't believe in Lamar Jackson right. That play right there.
Yeah. No, and I think all that's fair, and it was – for the first time in a long time, I went to bed Saturday and said,
"Oh no, you didn't."
I was
no, you didn't, Steve.
No. Not, and I'm not jumping too far off that cliff. Hang on, but I said, "Oh, Saquon Barkley, I'm probably, geez, I don't know. I'd vote against him as not the best player in the country right now."
It's the first time you said Lamar Jackson may not be the best player in the country.
Yeah, right now. Now, but here's the thing, and I think this is what I'm expecting to happen, and what I think we're all hoping happens is you go, Okay, Lamar's about to put on a show at some point. And I'm hoping that's in 2 weeks.
When it all starts clicking.
Yeah. So I'm not throwing Lamar out by any means. He's your guy.
Joe, thanks for calling 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just want to make two comments. One, you know, there was a a lot of couches Saturday night in Lexington that were breathing a sigh of relief.
Huge sigh of relief.
Oh. Couch lives matter. And this Dewan Pass, the comment they made about how command of the offense, you got to realize he works with them every day. He was using the second string. So he's working with them every day, running their plays, running the other team's plays. So there's a lot of, you know, continuity between those. So let's not get too ahead of saying he has so much command of the offense when he's actually running their offense and the other team's offense.
Yeah, that's fair. No, that's a fair point. I mean, it's and it was a beat down Kent State team in the fourth quarter too. So
you gotta beat him down.
But he looked good. His mechanics look good.
Alex, thanks for joining us on 93.9. Fire away.
Hey, what's up, guys? I wasn't able to watch the game. I was at work. But the way you guys were talking about it, when I heard the pregame show, it sounded like there was some problems, but there was some hopeful things that happened. But the way you guys are talking about it is almost like, maybe you guys haven't gotten to the positives yet, but I just didn't know how much do you think you played into. I know there was a lot of second string or people that haven't been on the field a lot started on defense.
How much do you think that applies into, you know, the way we looked on Saturday? And did it really look that bad? Are you guys just trying to build it up like it was that bad? Thank you.
Joe, I appreciate the call. Yeah. Joe, when you get – Alex, I'm sorry about that. When you get to this point, you have to be critical. When you start talking about winning out, you have to be critical. When you start talking about having backups that are 4- and 5-star players, you have to be hypercritical.
And you only look for flaws against teams like Kent Murray.
Right.
I mean, that's the fact.
And listen, and it's too easy to be positive and say, oh, well, you know, you did get out of this weekend with another win, which a lot of teams didn't. Oh.
Yeah, they did people, not.
We're going to ask the question. Is it time to start thinking about Alabama? And there's a lot of ways to talk about this. It's going to get very, very, very uncomfortable.
And this weekend, put a little bit of the fear.
Ah, yes.
As far as the rest of the season goes.
Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number on 939 The Ville.